"It is better to spend your money while you are still alive," my father would declare, his black eyes flashing with a kind of devil-may-care enthusiasm, seeming to mock his own father's hard-won acquisition and those uptight Yankees around the lake who pinched every penny. My father loved to speak, he loved to write, and he loved, above all, to be the center of attention at parties. "Everything happens at parties," he would say. So there was a constant party on our dock at this exclusive, rustic lake. My father was a spendthrift with his time, as with all his many talents. He gave himself away to so many that there was never enough time at home for me, never enough time for one-on-one, for father and son. When I was grown and I moved away from home, he invited me to his parties, and that is the only way we saw each other. When he died, my need to go to parties died as well. Now I find myself sipping coffee with Crystal, worlds away from the parties during those summers on that exclusive lake. Yet as I laughed with her, I could actually feel my heart become a little lighter and my spirits rise a bit. This reality surprised me. Maybe it was the caffeine in this powerful coffee, but I also had to admit that I felt at ease in this totally new scene, having coffee in a crowded, upbeat bar as a way of beginning a new job. It was all so bizarre and foreign, like Alice through the looking glass, or Michael Gates Gill breaking through to another place and class to find it wasn't so scary after all. I was stepping out from my old status quo, and as a direct result, I felt better than I had in days, or weeks, or months. It was crazy, but maybe, I hoped, there was a method in this madness. Crystal's voice broke through my daydream. "Mike, it is important you learn the differences in these coffees." I no longer had the luxury of time for philosophical self-concern. The bell had rung. I was in the ring. It was time to get involved in minute-by-minute efforts rather than heavy contemplation. Keeping up with customers' orders was my new job. I had to give up spending so much time thinking about the past and what I had lost. It was going to be a big challenge just to keep up with the present. I was about to discover that at Starbucks it was not about me. It was about serving others. Crystal had a serious look on her face and launched into a lecture as though I were some eager student of coffee lore. "Sumatra coffee is from Indonesia. The Dutch brought it there hundreds of years ago, and it's part of a whole category of coffees we call bold." "We," again I noticed, thinking back to Linda White and her "we" when she had fired me. Crystal could do the same. "This is the way we welcome all new partners," Crystal explained, leaning forward toward me as though to confide a great personal secret. "We believe that coffee is our business. Starbucks Coffee is our name, so we welcome all new partners with coffee sampling and coffee stories." Crystal sat back with a smile, and I smiled back at her. Her face now seemed so positive and cheerful. Even her brown eyes, which could be so cold, now seemed to sparkle with a kind of happy interest. It had become clear to me as she talked that she was intelligent and even passionate, at least about the coffee business. And I felt that maybe, just maybe, Crystal really was going to give me a chance to prove myself. As I sampled the rich Sumatra brew, I was beginning to feel that I could handle this part of the Starbucks business. I loved coffee. I loved learning about the history of things. I glanced over at the partners behind the counter, all working hard yet seeming to have a great time. While they were all so young, and while there was not a white face in the bunch, maybe, I told myself, I should be like the coffee I was drinking, part of the bold category.